podcast with Rodrigo Torres here, man.
Yeah, man. What's happening?
He just got kicked out of Nordstrom. He was trying to buy some Ivanka Trump stuff for his lady, and they don't have it no more, man.
This fool, dog. She's the one that shit.
But now she's gonna. Now all her stuff got moved to Ross to Nordstrom Rack.
And then
now, and then Ross.
TJ Maxx.
Yeah, man.
What else, dude?
Yeah.
Dollar store.
What's up, Fool Podcast? We're here, man, at the What's Up, Fool Podcast studio, All Things Comedy.
Hell yeah, the headquarters.
We came to that party, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, dude, it was bad, though.
They had tacos.
The Rogi truck.
The what?
Right? Isn't it Rogi? Rogi? Koji.
Whatever. There were two trucks, bro.
Yeah, fusion food.
There was churros.
Yeah, I didn't have none of those. I left.
You know, what's your problem when like people try to get all fancy with churros? They're churros, bro.
Just the churros, dog.
They want to get like charge me an extra $5 because the guy came up with chocolate syrup to dip it in.
And a scoop of ice cream.
Bro, if I want a churro, man, that's what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to eat a churro, three for a dollar, and then go home and take out a Hershey bar, melt it, and make my own.
Churros more?
Churros more, that sounds good.
Shmore?
What's up, Return. Fool? Upcoming shows tonight, February 10 and 11, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Dallas, Texas, on a couple of shows with some more, Tommy Davidson and Arnaz J. February 14, one night only, Chicago, with Mike Epps, Bruce, and Tony Rock. February 16th through the 19th, Pleasanton, California, at Tommy T's. Saturday is almost sold out. I'm pretty sure by the time we get to February 16th podcast, which will be next week, the show will be sold out.
Yeah, man.
So both shows are almost sold out. It'll be the first time going to Pleasanton, and some of the shows are sold out.
In advance.
I must have told Tommy T, you know what? Let's not do fucking radio, man. Don't pick me up at 6.
Come on, man. Let's go eat some Chinese food, Felipe.
Coming in March. Big news, man. Big news. I'm coming to Spokane, Washington, or Spokane, or whatever. However the Native Americans pronounce it, Spokane. La, 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 la. And El Paso, Texas. Yes, we're going back to the dirty comic strip. Actually, ain't that dirty, man. Just the green room is. Hopefully the ceiling won't fall on Rodrigo.
That one time the towel fell? What up?
Albuquerque, April 7, one night only. Tickets go on sale in a couple of weeks. Albuquerque, one night only. Where at? April 7, Isleta Resort and Casino. I will be there with Larry Bubbles Brown.
It's
a two-man show. That's it. They don't want to bring three. And we'll be there. Hopefully that will drive or bring a seat cushion or one of those
whoopee cushion.
Those toilet things you sit on the toilet. Because that fool, he's a germaphobe, bro.
Oh, what's that?
You know, you take a bidet? Shit. You, no, fool, you take a shit, you put that on paper, so you want to sit on someone else's ass.
Sanitary napkin?
Yeah, sanitary napkin, bro. Toilet seat cover. Whatever, man. I'm sitting with a guy who doesn't use it. He just said, fuck it. He sits on the toilet, no standing. Do you wipe the toilet when you sit down?
Fool, I took a shit outside before, dog. Who needs a toilet? I just need toilet paper.
Sober,
dog.
Or drunk?
Fucking normal, dog. Over there by the 134 like a fucking bum, dog. I'm going to shit my pants. What's going to happen, dog? I shit
you
my pants
over
once
and
too.
Shit?
Yeah, dog.
Oh, Andy Kern style?
Hell yeah, fool. Swear to God, dog.
What you wipe yourself with?
Fucking toilet paper. I had to roll in the truck, dog. Yeah, fool.
Dude.
Pest control's a motherfucker, dog.
Martin Moreno and I. We're in Arizona, I think, and we had these two girls took us to go eat fast food before or after we took us to eat fast food after the show, and we were stuck in the drive-thru, and one of the girls said, "Oh man, there's the bathroom! I got the bathroom full." They both got out of the car and peed on the side, bro, and they had their own toilet paper.
Were they all buzzed?
They were all buzzed.
Oh, okay, but
in the drive-thru lane,
those
bro,
are some soldiers you guys were
they
rolling
were
with.
Pee, bro. We didn't have sex with them that night after that, bro.
Skunka style.
I kept thinking about getting toilet paper. But that was crazy, man. They had boyfriends probably.
Hell yeah. Prepare, dog, for a night of mischief.
When a woman does things like that, guys get grossed out. But we do it all the time.
I know, huh?
It's probably because they have to bend down. And you know when a woman bends down, guys get horny. But you gotta be quick about it, though. It's not like some guys.
Discreet.
Remember that fucking stupid idiot, bro? He started peeing on those plants at Ordóñez. Oh, you didn't see that fool, huh?
Nah.
We were eating, and this dude hanging out with us. Then he went to the side, and he peed, like, on the Ordóñez front entrance. There used to be a lot of plants.
Yeah.
He just whipped it out and started peeing there, bro.
Damn, dog.
Trying to grab chips later.
He was bold.
Crazy, man. Shout out to everyone who reviewed our podcast on iTunes. David C.H., DJ Kak, K-A-K, Weather Gazer, Dan from Vegas, Neon Tetra, or Tetra. What did I say? Tetra. She must have big tetras. Van Nuys Chunky. A lot of fat fools like the podcast. Also, people, we have a guest today. He'll be here later. But also, man, big news.
What up?
Big news. I know we're pumping up the ABC pilot and all that. We're pumping it up. We had the TV deal, the development deal money, the holding deal. But guess what?
What happened?
ABC is going to pass on the pilot.
They're not going to shoot it.
So now, this is how it works. When we signed the deal with ABC, we signed a deal that they have to shoot it or they get penalized. So they're not going to shoot it. So we get penalized money. What?
Get an extra check?
What?
Fuck yeah, that, dude.
We get an extra side money now for them not shooting it. Now I understand Don Rivera's joke. Yeah. Last 2 years, Hollywood has paid me not to work.
And that's like giving them cheese?
Yeah, like when you have, like, I'm pretty sure, like, when you get a development deal, I'm not saying mine, but other people, you know, other people, they get a development deal and they give them what? I will say that 1980s, they will give them $500,000.
Dang.
$500,000. That's just to hold them for a whole year.
So they can't fuck with any other network?
They can't mess with no other network. Now, if they don't shoot the pilot, they get penalized, so they get an extra $250,000 or $50,000. So they're really paying you not to work.
And another studio not to get you, right?
Yeah, man. So we got I forgot this thing was done right here.
What happened?
What's up, everybody?
Periscope.
Periscoping it and shit?
Or is that Facebook Live?
I don't know. It's over now. What's up, fool? Man.
We're back. What's cracking, dog?
So we were on the road last week with Bruce.
What's up, man?
With a long ponytail.
Oh, two of them, player.
And we were first in Orlando.
Orlando.
Adam Murray showed up.
Hey, buddy.
Smelling like a dirty laundry. And also Jose.
Mendez, right?
It's a good show, man. What do you think of the show altogether?
It was fucking killer, dog. The first one you guys did, Arsenio was hosting, so that was fucking cool.
That was cool, man.
And then going into that room, that fool's room, talking to women, hanging out with you and that fool. You guys, cupcakes, all that little shit, dog.
Man, these guys are beasts, bro. Like, these guys, they sell a lot of shows. Like, Mike Epps, he has like 2.5 million followers on Instagram. Bruce, the guy probably makes like 5 million a year. And
easy,
you know, easy. And Tony Rock, you know, he's Tony Rock. Ricky Smiley. He's on the radio, man. These guys are working hard comedians, man.
Fuck yeah, dog.
They're funny. Like, their audience love them.
Yeah, dog. It's like funny-ass shows.
Like, you go to a show, you know, like my show, people get dressed up.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go to, like, white comedian show, everybody's dressed casual, you know. They never get dressed up. You know, dirty tennis shoes. You know, everybody's like a hipster. But black shows, man, it's like going to a family reunion. Like, they spend money on nails to get done. Their hair, their suits, everything's looking good. I mean, I think when a great black comedian shows up to town, man, he's stimulating that town's income.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because people are spending, like, everybody making money when they show up because everybody's going to get a haircut. So there's a haircut. The barber is fucking busy.
Barbershop.
And you go to the clothes, buy clothes. The swap meet is busy. Where are you buying clothes at? Nordstrom is
Taylor's
busy. Ross. Everybody's spending money. And man, I felt bad wearing dirty tennis shoes.
Everything comes full circle, player. It was badass though, dude.
It was good, man.
It was tight, dude.
What didn't you like about it?
Oh, fuck it. I thought everything was good about it, dude.
I thought you said I didn't get to go up.
Oh, so I don't give a fuck, fool. Fucking, I like the food. The food was bomb and it was all catered to, you know what I mean? Fucking, that was bomb. They were, Bruce was cool. His crew was cool. Fucking, that other fool was cool. Arsenio Hall, dude. Even, you know, Mike Epps.
La Chilitas.
Hell yes. Hey, man, what's up, y'all? Got that weed?
Yo, man, where's the food?
Got a big-ass blunt for your ass.
I would never invite fools to show up at my show and show up hungry. Eat before you come.
There was legions of hungry-ass fools, especially in Cincinnati, huh, fool?
It's funny, man, that Mike Epps walked into the hospitality room where they have all the food for us. They had barbecue, collard greens, plus they had a little side vegetarian vegan meal for me.
Fish and chicken.
All I wanted was rice and beans, so they made me rice and beans and two Boca vegan patties. Well, we ate all that shit, right? And then Mike Epps realized that there was rice and beans, and then that fool goes, man, who ate all the rice and beans? Then that Salvadorian fool walks in. You, oh man, Mexicans ate my rice and beans.
He's Salvadorian, dog.
He's Salvadorian, fool. Hell yeah. What's up, fool? How's the Yemen going?
Good, dog. Another episode dropping tomorrow.
Who you got?
Well, this one, I'm going to drop an episode on Sunday. We got Zhivago, and this one's going to be another solo one, dog. So, yeah, man.
You get those fools to be honest or what?
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes I listen to a man, these fools think that they're going to blow up from this. They feel like they're holding back because like they're gonna get a call by Joe Rogan or something.
Yeah, they gotta talk to their publicists before.
I know comedians who are great who do podcasts and they're holding back, bro. Like they're holding back a good story that I already know, bro. Joe Rogan ain't gonna call your ass. You're gonna be on no fucking Joe Rogan podcast. You ain't gonna be in the top 10. You're lucky if Joe Diaz calls you, cocksucker. That's right, cocksucker. Stop trying to be famous.
He's over there trying to wait for Marin, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, bro. They think that just by being on a certain podcast, that's going to make them, bro.
It's going to launch them.
Trust me, bro. No matter who has a podcast, they ain't Oprah Winfrey, bro. People are just going to follow you and shit.
Motherfuckers will be the next Dr. Oz, huh?
We had a lot of good guests on our show.
Hell yeah, all of them, bro.
And they still haven't had an Instagram, some of them.
Still going, hanging on to the old
way. I don't understand comics that say, man, I want to be in your podcast, bro. And then you go to their social media. Motherfucker has no Instagram. He has like a Twitter with an egg on it. And this guy's been at Tonight Show 6 times, bro.
What's up with the Abby?
And he's blaming it on the young kids who are doing stuff.
Hacks, bro.
Nah, bro. Those guys are doing memes, bro.
I ain't got time to play on the computer, bro.
Man, I was going through all the memes last night before I went to bed. I was going through all the memes. All the ones. All the ones that are being done by young people. Mm-hmm. They're all the same.
They're all just redone, right? Reworded?
Like, they're all titled like, when you have a crazy ex-girlfriend. And then there's a little situation that's been done in a stand-up routine somewhere. Then you have another one, when you have a crazy girlfriend. But it's the same premise. And it's like, it's the same damn video.
Oh, yeah, dude. Just switch up the words, dude. Fuck it. Who's going to know?
Then an Instagram star walks into the room and nobody knows who the fuck he is. What's up?
Wait for your audience, player.
I know, man. But all my other kids know who they are, though. Like, Isaac knows who they are.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. It's a whole other generation, dog.
But we're going to spend like $25 to have a dildo thrown at him.
Or a pocket pussy, huh?
Yeah, man. What's up, fool, man?
What up?
Shit is getting crazy out here, man.
Well, what happened? Trump all crying about his daughter?
Oh, man. I got into this fucking 5-hour political fight last night on Instagram.
Really, fool?
No, on YouTube, bro.
Goddamn.
And I took a nap and woke up. Then I went to that page to learn how to roll a blunt. I mean, it was a rolling blunt tutorial.
Really?
It was a rolling blunt tutorial, bro.
Goddamn.
Then it got political.
About what?
Build a wall.
Damn. Build a blunt.
Yeah, man.
A fucking tutorial to roll a blunt, huh? Must not have fingers, you know?
Sometimes, man, like...
What's up?
People have a lot to say, man.
All day, fool.
They write a lot of stuff. Media, dog.
Like, oh, thoughts and points.
I cannot argue like that, you know? That's what throw in Lisa. I can't fight like that, you know? I don't have facts.
Dude, they just make them up now. Who gives a fuck, dude? You know what I mean?
I don't have facts.
Bunch of liars out
like,
there anyway.
Like when they say that, what were they saying?
What were they arguing about last night?
Oh, man, it was...
What was one of the main ones?
It was the one about how... The one that illegal immigrants voted, bro.
Oh, the one that fucking Trump's all jerking off to right now.
Yeah, but
there was a bunch of illegal votes.
Yeah, but I've been an illegal immigrant, you know, for a while.
You never voted, right?
Huh? No, but it's hard, man.
Yeah.
First of all, man, like unless there's somebody gathering up a lot of illegal immigrants and taking them in a big ass illegal immigrant voting bus and taking them to the polls. Era vota, no vote por Trump, cabrón, eh?
Fool, they act like it's gangs in New York and shit. That can't happen anymore.
It can't happen, man.
Everything is a fucking social security number tied into everything.
That means that we have illegal immigrants all over the country voting, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not just fucking in L.A. or New York or Miami or fucking, I mean, border town.
How did they get Juan to vote in Augusta, Maine, bro?
That's what I'm saying. What is he doing in Spokane?
Because he lost a popular vote in Maine. You think there's a lot of fucking illegals there, bro?
There's like three, fool. Give me a break. Fool's retarded, dog. He ain't got nothing else to do, dog.
And then when you fucking throw in, like, you ask people, you're like, okay, man. Show me, bro, where all these illegals showed up at. Then they throw in another one, man. You can't argue with these people, Trump supporters, because then they'll throw in like, yeah, man. So you don't support the troops? What? How do we get there, bro?
What do the troops got to do with this?
What do you got to do with anything?
They're going to build a wall out.
Trump supporters think that they're the only ones that have a right to be supportive of the troops.
Oh, yeah, to be associated with the whole shit because the NRA and all that shit, protect your country, freedom. Come on, fool. Fuck out of here.
Hell yeah, man. I don't own a gun, bro, because if somebody wants everything I have in my house, they can have it. They can have it, bro. I don't want it.
Just have a love
Just don't
gun,
shoot us
bro.
On the way out, Don't kill my rabbit.
Want me to put it in a car for you? Dog?
Man, I'll fight for my rabbit, though, man.
You love that little fool, huh?
Shall be if I had a, even if I had a dog and somebody broke into, I'll be holding the dog, man, like a machine gun.
A big ass fucking Rottweiler and shit, dog.
Yeah, man. But most people with guns, man, like I've known people who love guns. I used to work with a guy who loved guns, and he got fired for bringing a gun to work, bro. See, so
fucking fired Rambo, dog.
He was polishing his gun in a fucking at UPS at the guard shack, bro. They was like this was a long time ago when Bush was president. They can't fucking take my guns, bro. It's my fucking right. And I was thinking, bro, but you work at a place, you don't have a fucking gun permit to carry that shit.
God,
I think you're giving away your rights right now.
Dude, it's from playing army, being a little kid, being all stuck on that bullshit, though.
I used to play army, bro. I used to walk around with two fucking BB guns that looked like real guns. You know, the one you pump from the bottom, yeah, my little power line, Daisy right here, two of them. And I used to walk around with a real sword with metal, a fucking helmet, bro.
Mad
Max. And my other friend, he used to walk around with a big ass fucking Rambo knife that was sharp. And we were playing guns. We were like 14.
Oh, hell yeah, bro.
Imagine if the cops stop you with that shit. Bro, what are you doing? Man, I'm trying to start a revolution.
All right, put your hands behind your back.
Man, some fool hit me up on Instagram. No, ooh, on Facebook. Some fool that I grew up with. I went to school with him. We used to go to his house and eat Cheerios. I used to go to his house, and he would make me a bowl of cereal, usually Apple Jacks. And then we'd go inside his little closet, and he'd have a little playhouse in his closet, and we'd watch cartoons, bro. And then we'd eat. This fool got kicked out of Hollenbeck Junior High School because he had a long list, right? This was before Facebook, you know, so you couldn't really. I'm pretty sure there was Facebook back then. That list would have been on a meme or it would have been on his profile, but there was nothing like that. He just wrote them all down, right?
Good party line over here.
He had like a bunch of names, like 30 names, and the teacher got nosy. What you got there? Oh, man, you're the people I'm going to kill before I die.
God damn, the list was that long already?
What? I'm going to see you right now. Can I ask you a question first? Yeah. How do you spell your first name?
Damn.
I'm going to write the teacher's name on the list, bro. Uh-huh. Let's kick that fool out of school, bro.
Damn.
He's making a list, bro. He's checking it twice.
Terrorist threats, huh?
That was before gun shootings, bro. Like, massive shootings.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, dude. That was before Columbine, dog.
If you were the teacher, what would you have done?
I wouldn't have been a dick. It's like, man, you know what, dude? What the fuck's going on with your ass, dog? What's it? What are you going to be a fucking start a criminal record for that fucking kid and fuck up his life from then on?
Anyway, he's teaching now.
That's what I'm saying, fool.
He's teaching now.
He maybe learned a lesson, dude, but that's the wrong thing to do, dude, I think.
Hope you're not listening right now. One of our listeners knows that, fool. Raul Vasquez, what's up, fool? No, it's not him. It's not him.
The man behind the curtain.
He knew the guy. It was the guy, Luis. They used to live in the fucking Luis. He used to live in the projects. His mother, his sister is a friend of mine on Facebook, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
What's up, fool? We have a guest here tonight, today, on the What's Up, Fool podcast.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're losing the audience right now.
What happened, though? Before,
we got Steve Simone here, bros. Or Simeone, if you want to get really Italian. All right, but we're going to get to him right now, man. I'm pretty sure he's here. He just jump in whenever he wants.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
What's up, fool?
Philadelphia's finest.
He has what's up, podcast, fool? Too.
Yeah, man.
On Northeast Comedy, right?
Yeah. It's called Good Times. I want you guys on there.
Hell yeah. Good Times with Steve Simone. It's that little podcast with a little kid, and the logo looks like Fast Time at Richmond High.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Fast Time font. Nobody else gets that.
I got it right away, bro.
Look right there, dog.
I was waiting for Spicoli, dog.
Dude, how cool was Spicoli?
He has toured with Andrew Dice Clay, bro. Give me some Andrew.
Hey, we got Steve Simone in right. Oh, Wheels, where's my coffee?
Gabriel Iglesias, bro.
Damn.
Steve Ranazizi.
Hey, hi, guys. How you guys doing?
The 9/11 survivor, bro. From Philadelphia. Allegedly. From an Italian family, Melapelas.
Maroon.
Came to L.A. to be a cool fool. And started working at the Comedy Store, parking cars and working the door. Now the pay regular after 10 years, bro.
Yeah.
Took a lot of hard work.
That's funny, man. His name got up on the fucking wall before he became a regular. How about that?
Did it? The artist.
No. The wall took, but at least they put my name next to Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was cool.
Yeah. And body slammed it on there.
Exactly.
You've been there more than 10 years, right?
Yeah. I started doing open mics there. Like, wow, this September will be 17 years.
Steve looks the same, bro.
And be one of those guys, you look better.
But Steve Simone is like one of the few people that when you walk into the Comedy Store, if he knows who you are, he's going to always say what's up. Always say what's
original
up.
Original nice guy?
Dude, you got to be, especially always. At that place.
Hell yeah, man. Did you start working at the door in the back first?
I started on the phones.
Oh.
I was on because nobody wanted to wake up early. So I started working on the phones. I would leave there, go work at a pizza place, then wake up early to do the phones. After 3 months, I'm not lying, they were like, you're the only one responsible. Why don't you manage the place? So then I went and had to sit down with Mitzi.
She gave
me the keys. Show me where to drop the money, set the alarm. And then I did that for almost a year. And I was like, this is terrible. I just want to work the door. So then I worked the door. I bartended. I parked cars. I was Mitzi's assistant. I was Duncan when he was the town coordinator. I was his assistant. I think I did just about every job. Cover booth, just about every job there.
Did you drive that old school Comedy Store?
Yes,
car?
I did. I used to drive Mitzi in the Comedy Store van.
See, Steve Simone and that man, when he started, and when I started hanging at the Comedy Store, we were one of the few people that got the white Comedy Store t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Old school white shirts.
Because when I was working the door with Gabriel Iglesias, we had the white t-shirt, bro, and they don't make them no more.
Yeah, the black ones are the ones that everybody has.
That's how you're old school, bro. Come on.
Yep. It's changed so much, man. It's like 1985 there right now. There's lines down the block. Everybody wants to hang out.
Podcast, huh?
Podcast changed everything. Everything.
But not for every club, though, because not everyone that's successful, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's something magical about that place. I don't know if it's the location. I don't know if it's big enough where everybody can hang out. It feels more like a treehouse than a comedy club. I don't know. But it's the lineups they have there are unbelievable.
It's packed, huh?
Every night.
When did you start seeing, when you started off, was it packed, this pack, or no?
There were nights we didn't even have a show because there wasn't four. Mitzi said there had to be four in the audience. Four.
That's four at La Jolla. They told us seven.
So there wasn't seven people at La Jolla, no show?
No show.
No show.
Comedy back in the day, four, no show?
Four. There were times there was no show because we couldn't get four audience members.
Because we used to go back there in 2002 and shit, and the Dice Man would do 3 hours.
Talking
shit to one person.
Exact. Dice.
Nobody was there.
Exactly. That's when I was working the door. It was Dice or Eddie Griffin would race to see who would get on stage first. There was one night where Eddie Griffin got up on stage before the show started. Jeff didn't even plug in his piano yet. He just started talking to people, walking through the room, hopped up on stage, stayed up from, 8:30 to 2:30 in the morning.
Was that the one time? You know what?
Eddie Griffin.
I think I had a spot that night.
You got bumped.
Was that the same night that he's selling a stool and was almost falling down drunk?
Yes.
And then his cigarette kept falling off?
Yes.
Over and over, and he was stumbling, and he kept talking about the Waynes on stage, how nobody, he did not open, nobody let him open for him.
Oh.
He started ranting, huh?
Yeah, oh, he would go but off.
Didn't the Dice Man go up before him?
There were times.
Yeah.
He opened up
for the Dice Man at Madison Square Garden.
Yep, they were, I think Andrew used to manage him. I'm not sure, but back in the day. And I know when I saw Dice in 89 or 88 at the Philadelphia Spectrum, I remember Eddie Griffin opening up for him. I remember that.
Yeah, because on the one special, Eddie Griffin's in that little pre-movie, that little fucking teaser right before.
Dude, I missed the pre-movies. All specials used to have those. Oh, yeah, they were great.
I wish I had a pre-movie now. Pre-movies were good, man. Like, Eddie Murphy had the little...
I was thinking. And he kicks him in the ding-ding.
But then if you're old school, like, if you really, like, if you watched it and then you bring it up now to somebody who saw it too, like Rodrigo brought it up, he goes, man, Samuel Jackson was in the
Yes! The boy's got talent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you remember that shit. And I don't remember.
Janet Jackson was a little one saying, ooh, why do fools fall?
That was
you
tremendous.
You move like you're 21. Yeah, fool.
That's awesome, man. But those are a lot of comedians that run the people still run the light like that now?
No, everybody's way more respectful because there's something to lose.
Because they do four. I remember also, your boy, Paul Mooney, would do a lot of time, too.
What's going on? Oh,
yeah. What's more, bro?
You can't shut this nigga up for nothing.
Nobody gonna give me the light.
Wish Trump was president when
I was there. I invented the light.
Shit, you know what that star means up there? It means keep going, nigga.
Shit, man. See, I just switched everything from Mexican to black.
You hear what I'm saying?
But we had our magic out here.
Hey, guys.
And they're doing they're doing that show about the Comedy Store.
Dying up here. Yeah.
And, we're making fun of Eric Griffin because he's playing David Tyree.
Is that who his character is based on?
I don't know. It looks just like him.
I don't know.
He's wearing a white hat.
Probably.
Oh, no, Dave Tyree with the white hats.
And sunglasses.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way he's dressed.
Oh, that's perfect.
But nobody's admitted to it.
Is anybody playing Ollie Joe?
I don't know.
No.
That's the story I want to know.
There's a reference to it, though. Ollie Joe played it, right?
Yeah, and the rumor in the book about what he did to the improv.
What
allegedly.
What
do you do?
That's the rumor in the book.
Al Madrigal mentioned something around allegedly that he's the one that firebombed it.
That firebombed the improv?
Because he's dead now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, to get back into the Comedy Store?
I don't know.
Or just to
do it.
Yeah, because the motherfuckers weren't paying comics back then. So, all right, Mom, this is what you get.
Crazy.
That's crazy. And the pay has not, the pay has not changed.
not 35 years.
I remember it was $15. Is it still $15 a stay at the OR?
They just raised it to $20.
You fucking kidding me?
Yep.
See, that's why I can't go there, man.
Inflation, dog.
$20 because nobody's gonna get on strike. Nobody's gonna go and go like this. Hey, listen, man, you gotta raise it to $35. The Laugh Factory paying $35. I don't even know what the Laugh Factory pays now.
Neither do I.
It should be $35 for the during the week at the Laugh Factory. Weekends was $75 only at Hollywood. Long Beach Laugh Factory on Friday and Saturday was $125.
That's not bad.
And when you do the casino at San Manuel, every opener feature gets $250, and the headliner gets $400. It used to be like that.
Well, the Comedy Store, they would always split the main room with you.
Which is good. Never been done at the Laugh Factory.
So you can make now that it's sold out every show, you can make some money.
Do they split it up?
It all depends on how many's on the lineup, yeah.
No, Mitzi gets the Comedy Store always gets half and the alcohol and the comedians split the other half, and it's not between like who's more popular, it's evenly.
Even.
Which is fair. But God, man, they gotta be making around $20,000 in alcohol.
Easy. Well, you know what's crazy? I remember there was an old school comic would come when I managed, came into my office looking at his main room check.
Argus Hamilton.
I forget who it was. Somebody that's I love Argus, by the way.
Oh, fuck it. Danny Morris.
Brian Holtzman.
Holtzman's back, by the way. It's great.
Fuck
but yeah. He told me back in the day, like $1982, you could make over $100,000 a year just working for Mitzi. Because the main room was sold out all the time. She had rooms in Vegas. And rooms
London.
In Hawaii. So you would just do a circuit for her, He said he was making over $100,000 in the early 80s.
And that was the whole part of that big boom and shit?
Yep. I just hope it gets back to there. I'm going to be honest.
Because she had a lot of rooms. She had the set La Jolla and then Hollywood. She had two comedy stores in Hollywood, though.
Yeah. And she had Westwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it true, man, what they say that people that work at the comedy store, they would imitate Mitzi Shore's voice
Everybody.
To turn down comedians?
Everybody would, like, they couldn't tell a story about Mitzi without just going, oh, yeah. They would always go into a Mitzi impression. And it's kind of weird now because I'm, like, one of the old school guys that actually knew her. But a lot of the kids.
Knew her. She's still alive, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But she hasn't been to the club. As far as I know, she hasn't been since the 40th anniversary, which I think was about 4 years ago.
How old is she now?
I don't know. Last night was Sammy Shore's 90th. So we had to, Paulie threw a party for it. And dude, he's 90. I saw him. I used to see him work out at Gold's Gym back in the day when I first moved to LA. I go, Sammy, I used to see you at the. He was like, yeah, I still work out every day. I have a trainer 2 days a week. And next week, I'm opening up for Tony Orlando. I'm like, how great is that? He's 90. He's still going strong.
Original Weasel, bro.
Weasel Senior, dog. The Weeze.
Damn, he's 90. Crazy, huh? So that means Paulie's short is 60 now. You opened up for him too, right?
He's a baby, yeah. Right?
You and Jesus.
Yep, I love Jesus. I love that kid. Yeah, I've worked any gig, man. When you're at the comedy store and either working the door or going out on the road, you're going to go out on the road. That's one of the best things about it. Because, like, where else can you learn how to do that stuff? It's like a school more than a club. Like, I always tell, like, the open micers and the door guys, I'm like, this is for you. This isn't about the audiences. This isn't about the comedians on the stage. It's about the kids that want to do it. And that's what I love about it, that you could just show up with a dream. And I've seen dudes. I've seen Gerard Carmichael. I remember when he was doing open mics. Now he's a sitcom star. Whitney Cummings. I remember when she just got on stage. Chris D'Elia. Like, I've seen people blow up, go from open micer to millionaire.
Millionaire.
Mm-hmm. That's what Mitzi told me. She brought. Oh, she killed me once. Screaming at me. You could do it my way and become a millionaire. Or you could just go get lost on the road. I'm like, well, lady, what are you breaking my balls for? And she told me on the van, she was like, you know how many names there are on that van? There's 34. You know what they all have in common? They're millionaires. That's why you get your name on the van. You know why they're millionaires? Because they did it my way. Make up your mind, honey. Listen to me and become a millionaire. Or go be a, what she said, go get lost on the road. I was like, all right, God.
People do get lost on the road.
Yeah, damn, it's true. Bro.
I've seen that too.
Like, I didn't really like go on the road. Like, people say, oh, he's on the road. Till 2010. After I won Last Comic Standing, like, doors started opening up.
Like, yep. In the A-Room big leagues?
I never was with no. I would never, like, I never did no David Tribble run. Fuck that, bro.
I'm
fuck
right there
that.
With you.
I never did no gigs.
Come where, back to I never,
you know what
huh?
It was? I was so comfortable working at the Laugh Factory and getting gigs, the Laugh Factory, and every once in a while, you know, like, plus I had my room that paid me whatever it paid me, right? And I would get gigs that paid $75 here, $50 here in L.A. that I didn't need to, bro. Like, I always had, like, this work ethic that if I have to go somewhere and then lose money, I ain't going.
I'm right there with you.
Like, I don't know, comedians can just go to a gig and have a story about I was starving the whole week. Fuck you, bro. Your decision.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I barely had no money to go to gas. Fuck you, bro.
Fools do that to say they go on the
oh,
road,
though. Oh, fuck you. I hear these sad stories. Oh, came man. I got there with no money to feature and... Luckily, the headliner, and they would mention a big name.
Right.
He bought me a meal. Bro, you were begging all week. If you can't afford to go feature, don't fucking go. Came back broke.
Right. And the clubs would have to raise their rates. They would kind of ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other fucking drawback, too, dog.
Like, we talked to an old booker. He said, how come these comedians keep going back? Oh, because they keep going back for less.
Yeah, yeah. Dog. There you go, fool.
That's what my agent told me. He was like, I was like, because I would like say I'd open up for Paulie, and these guys would say, come on back. Then my agent's like, I can't send you out for that money. You're not going to make anything. I remember there was an old. You remember
they ain't
going
to make anything. She's talking about they ain't going to make anything.
Do you remember Harris, the old school door guy at the Comedy Store? He told me that in like. Harris Pete. He told me like in 1978.
Fuck.
Features were making $1,500 a week and a plane ticket. that the money actually went down in 30 years.
It dipped, huh?
Damn.
My first time featuring, I featured, not even fucking featured, I opened for Gene Pompa and Greg Giraldo.
Wow, that's a great show.
Greg Giraldo. I was the opener. Yeah, Dallas, Addison Improv, okay?
Wow.
Guess what? They flew me, bro.
They paid for your travel?
And they gave me a hotel.
Awesome.
And they gave me $250 for the whole week. Let me tell you, bro, I was winning. Right?
Yeah.
I was fucking
dog.
Winning, hanging around with legends.
Yep.
Right? Hanging out with a future legend right there.
Living the dream.
And it was these little things that I did right in my career that helped me out, because Greg Giraldo never forgot me from that Addison Improv. You know, even though we never saw each other again, he never forgot me. So when I showed up at the comedies, at the last comic standing, shit, bro, I was like Slumdog Millionaire up there. I could trace
That's
back when,
one,
yeah,
when I knew these people.
That's a
but
tough
yeah,
one.
But now, but even like they would off that gig was available in 2007, bro, to go over there and feature for $400, but you gotta bring yourself in. I said no, no. I you know what I said yes to? They had a one nighter at Addison Improv. They'll fly you in, give you the hotel, and give you $500 to headline the day before Christmas Eve. That was December 23rd. And guess what? I said yes.
Yeah, I would
sweet
do that.
Sweet ass little fuck.
So I went over there, bro. Little bit of crowd, little audience, killed it. Met a hooker outside. It was just sad ass hooker
Christmas.
Outside. She was like this. And I said, I'm sorry, man, but next week there's going to be a fat guy named Gabriel Iglesias. Wait right here for him. He will tell you yes.
Terrible.
This fool.
She was up there going, bro, I'm sad. And I said, listen, man. I started like telling her, man, that, listen, man, I made nothing tonight, man. It's depressing.
And you're going to make nothing.
He goes, you're not going to make nothing, man. He goes, I didn't even sell merch.
I don't have any merch.
But next week, there's a guy named Gabriel Iglesias coming, and if you just be patient, you know, hold out for another week, he'll be right here waiting for you. Oh. I'm just trying to give her advice, bro, but she was like trying to give me a discount, you know, and I said, they didn't catch my check inside. What are we going to do?
Oh, that's so sad.
It's a discount, dog.
Yeah, man, but it was weird, man. Like, they must know, huh?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. They smell that shit.
And the hotel's not even by a truck stop, man. What are you doing here?
Ugh.
Crazy.
Upper class.
But I never made those bad decisions, man.
Like fucking whack-ass gigs just to say you go.
Only I made bad decisions. Maybe when a comic tells me this gig is going to pay this amount of money, so you turn down a gig that's going to pay half of that, and then that gig never happens.
Yeah, but it's at that.
Cisco right there did it to me. Piece of shit right there, man. He promised me a gig that pays $700. Guaranteed. And then I said, all right. So I put it on my, okay, about a month from now. But then I had a gig that paid more than that the day of the show, and I turned that down because I want to be fair, you know?
Right.
But then they didn't tell me that. Then the other gig that dude gave me got canceled, but he didn't tell me it was canceled till the night before, bro.
Wow.
So that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's the fucking word, guaranteed, dog.
I remember seeing Pauly Shore get gangster with a promoter. We were doing one-nighters. Like through like New Mexico or Arizona or something like that. And the dude was like, all right, well, I'll get your money. And Paulie's like, I'm not going on stage. He was like, no, but you know, the guy with the money's gonna be here. And he's like, well, we'll get him here now. He's like, well, dude, there's 800 people out there all here to see you. And he's like, yeah, fine. Just give me the money now. And then the show, they waited an hour. He waited till he got his money. And then he went on. And he's like, dude, never, ever perform without getting your money if you don't trust the person.
Hell no.
Is that a one-nighter or a fucking week?
It was a one-nighter.
Damn. Sammy yep. Shore Jr. dropped
exactly.
That ever happened to you?
No.
Or somebody stiffed you?
No. I had a buddy of mine, and he was a good kid, offer me more money than he could pay me.
Oh, my God.
But then I was like, dude, you can't pay me that. And he was like, I'll get it to you. And I was like, just keep it going. Put it in so you can do comedy here again. This is enough for me. I'm not greedy. I don't need a lot.
You know the money's going to be
short. I really don't. I'm a middle child. I'm good with anything.
You know the money's going to be short when you show up to the gig and the promoter walks up to you, man, whatever you need, man. You want drugs, you want alcohol, you want bitches, I got it for you. No, man, I want the rest of that fucking deposit.
Exactly.
We're trying to offer you stuff, bro. Like, I got bitches, dog. I got bitches for you. I got drugs, bro. We're going to after party. I'm good, man. Yeah, just give me my money right now, man.
Do you care about any of that stuff?
Hell no.
Me neither. I'm like, it's just a job, bro. That's stuff
that we could all get on our own.
If I wanted to spend my money on that, I would spend my money on that.
Hey, you're an ugly motherfucker, I noticed, bro. I got bitches. I got drugs. I know you're fat, Rodrigo.
Hey, I'm good.
I got some chick for you, bro. Don't mind fat dudes, eh?
I'm good.
I would like to one day say, yes, bro. Where are these bitches? And I wonder who the fuck gonna call. Listen, Maria, wake up. It's your brother.
Where are these bitches?
So you started off comedy in L.A. or Philadelphia?
I did some open mics in Philly, and I remember, like, you know, people go, oh, where am I going to get started? How am I going to get started? It's never going to work. Dude, I remember going and doing open mics at a place called the Laugh House in Philly. No lie, I remember Kevin Hart doing those open mics. I remember it was Kevin Hart, Big J Okerson, and it might have even been Joe DeRosa who just had a special on Comedy Central. Like, I remember it was 1997. And I'm like, well, this is the only comedy club in town. Let me check it out. And I did a couple open mics there. I remember taking the train up to New York to try to do open mics. But it was the late 90s. Comedy was dead. So I didn't really get started till I moved out here in 2000, 2001. But that's that.
You started at the Comedy Store, the first spot. You knew people? That's why you went there?
Yeah, I won a contest back in 2000. I'd been on stage probably like 6-7 times. Won a contest that Pauly Shore hosted. And he was like, bro, you should be in L.A. I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to go to L.A. I know Paul. Nothing.
Blow
for
up.
Dude, I started like Pauly. I worked on his movie. Did a movie called Pauly Shore's Dead. I did everything on that movie. $50 a day. I'm taking out the trash. And I remember one day we started at 8 in the morning. It was now 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody else, because, you know, you go to jobs, nobody works. I'm the only person doing stuff, and he catches me carrying a couch by myself down some steps because I'm so pissed at this point. I've been working almost 24 hours. I'm like, this sucks, $50. And he catches me carrying a couch down the steps, and he goes, dude, I'm going to get you a job at the store. And then that's how I got my job answering phones. And then a year later, Dice let me open up for him in Vegas. I'm like, oh, this is great. It still took me 8 years after that to become a regular at the Comedy Store.
What was it like opening up for Dice?
Unbelievable.
You know what? He's actually a sweet guy. It's like being on the road with an 11-year-old.
That's what I heard, though.
Like, I just saw him last week, and I remember he was buying mattresses. He's a crazy person. And the guy comes to deliver the mattresses.
I need a mattress for my sunglasses.
Dude, he did the thing. You know when you pull your arm into your shirt and you act like you don't have an arm? Like when you're 7? He was doing that when the guy showed up to deliver mattresses.
So he wouldn't help him, bro.
Oh, my God. Dude, and you know what? After the show in Vegas, he gets ice cream sundaes delivered to his suite. Like, it's like being on the road with his brother.
Hey, got any chauffeur rolls, right?
Exactly. It's the best.
Pity dude.
Atomic fireballs.
Right.
Lisa's father would do that, bro. He'll pretend he has no arm, bro. Instead of Walmart and shit.
Walmart?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, Kmart. Anywhere.
He would act deaf, bro.
Never grow up.
Like a National Lampoon's, eh? With Chevy Chase, dog.
So with Wheels, bro. When'd you meet him?
Parisi.
Met him at the store.
Is he from Philadelphia, too?
No. Wheels is from, I think, New York. I think
Jersey
Brooklyn.
Or some shit. Oh, yeah, he is from like, Brooklyn?
I think so.
Kerrigan's from Philly.
Eleanor's
right?
From Philly. She's great.
Schubert.
Yep. Dude, there's a lot of funny people from that city. Was Kevin Hart.
Yeah, dog.
Adam McKay, the director. Neil Brennan, the comic.
Oh, I didn't know fucking Neil Brennan was from Philly.
Yep.
But God.
Tina Fey. Neil Brennan's from Philly.
Thought that fool was what? Chicago. Shy?
Chicago and Philly.
Oh.
Chicago, then Philly. Went to high school in Philly.
Oh, okay. It's all fucking close right there, huh?
Well, Philly's actually not far from New York.
Yeah, all right. The little train ride.
Yeah.
You come from maybe a big Italian family?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I only have two brothers, but...
Was your father in the rackets?
I wish. Now he's a school teacher.
That's funny, man. Italians always get that question from non-Italians who don't live in New York, who live in California. Your dad, your father was in a mob or what?
He was running numbers, huh?
No, he was teaching math. That's the kind of numbers he was from.
Anybody in your family connected, dog?
No, we're not cool at all. Just normal, boring.
We're not cool at all.
Go to church on Sunday. That's it.
I remember my seventh grade music teacher and homeroom teacher, Mr. Bose, who was from Chicago. He goes, "Yeah, I went to school with Albert Anastasia's kid."
Oh yeah, they're all from there, dog.
Yeah, that's old school.
He goes, "Damn, Anastasia. You're part of that's in seventh grade, bro." He got me into Murder Machine.
Damn, dude. This fool.
How do you spell that again? Anastasia? What? Killer Murder monster, Machine? Dog. You got killed at a barbershop?
All that stuff makes me nervous.
People still fighting at the comedy store like in the old days?
No. Nope.
Getting into fist fights?
It's nope. All night and day difference. It's night and day difference. There, huh?
Yeah, it's so positive now.
What's up with that, dog? Who created all that shit?
I think it's just success, to be honest with you. Yeah, well, ever since Adam took over booking the club, it's been incredible. He's done an unbelievable. I would never want that job, just dealing with comedians' egos and trying to keep everybody happy. But he's been like a maestro.
He has to. Is the booking still the same? Like you just call in and they put
call
you
in
time,
on Monday.
They just randomly put you in a time wise, or people pick the times.
I'm just happy to be on the team, coach. I would never have the balls to request a time.
Do people do that though?
I'm sure.
I've never done that.
I've never done it, but I'm sure like big shot comedians do it.
Yeah, put me at 9:15.
Yep, I'm sure that's what it has to. I'm sure with the egos that happen.
Yeah, because you look at the list, and I could pretty much guess who's going to go first right now without even looking at the list. Who's going to go last.
Yeah.
You know, Dean Del Rey might go first tonight.
I'm good with that.
And last will be the same guy always last. The guy with the bald guy.
What's Tom Barris.
Tom Barris, yeah.
Oh, dude, yep. Hell yeah.
Then at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, that crazy Jewish guy with a paper. Oh, Robert Abadaya.
Yeah, Robert.
He still shows up, or he's done.
Yeah, he does. I saw him just last week. I hadn't seen him in a while. And remember how he had that green corduroy suit that was all in tatters? He has a new one. I don't even know where you get those.
Where does the guy live?
I don't know.
Around the corner somewhere, dude.
There's been so many rumors about that guy. Like somebody said he was like a big-time lawyer that just had a meltdown.
Because I know the Dice Man got crazy with somebody who was trying to fuck with him one time, huh?
Yeah.
No, Dice Man was fucking with him. I remember he was on stage and Dice Man was putting all the Dice Man and Don Barris, they were pushing all the chairs in front of him so he wouldn't be able to get out of the stage.
Oh.
They were blocking him from getting off. And I remember being in the back going, "That's fucked up."
Yeah, that's messed up.
And I made a little path for him. But that fool was smoking weed, dog.
Really?
One time,
you give him the roaches?
Yeah. Yorsi gave him a roach.
I love Yorsi.
Well, so is PJ, bro.
Back in Jersey. And I think he's going to become a real estate agent. That's the last time I talked to him. Could you imagine him selling your house?
Yeah, well, I see he's been going a little crazy on Facebook, huh? Like, you know.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Somebody give him a bump, bro.
Where's Davey when you need him?
I spent the night at his house, but I didn't do no sleeping, but I was there.
The fucking wearing sunglasses and shit.
I don't know how. I ended up at PJ's house for two nights one time. Two nights straight. And then Davey went to go work, and he came back, and I was still there. And then PJ said, "Hey, man, I got to go work at the comedy store. Fuck it, I'll go with you, bro."
Hilarious.
So I went with him, and I sat in the front getting fucked up. He got off at 1. I went back to his house. He was, like, hoping I would leave or something.
Okay, hey,
you know me, bro.
Another 48 hours, bro.
They call me Bumpy Wheels.
Oh, my God, dude. That's funny, dog. What happened when Davey came back from work and I was still there?
Hilarious. Davey Wester? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, the one that you said. This is
dude, he was my roommate for like 3 months.
Really, dude?
Yep.
He's from Washington, right? Or some shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Eufrata, Washington. He would always talk about it. Like, oh, God. I had so many roommates. I had Davey, Fat James, God rest his soul.
Oh, he died. Stevie Z. Awful.
Yep.
He was one of the Jimmy and Joey's.
Yeah.
Dude, how many different Jimmys have there been? I think there's been over 30 Jimmys.
I know.
You never did it, right?
No.
Yeah, because the other guy was a little greaseball looking dude with a little beard, short beard on.
No, I would never do
it. It was Fat James, and then the other guy, Jimmy, I don't know his name.
It's Jimmy DeVay.
Jimmy DeVay.
Yeah, it something started like with that. His brother. If the original Jimmy was his brother, Jimmy.
They were brothers.
They were brothers. And then at one point, I know he was working with a puppet, Jimmy. Because he couldn't get a person to do it.
Okay, I got little Jimmy here.
Hey, what's going on?
It was heartbreaking.
Fucking puppet?
Bro, it broke my heart.
I need to get a puppet, bro. What am I doing?
You saw him walk in with a puppet? It was Jimmy and Joey?
Yeah. And he goes, and he told me, he's like, I just can't trust any people. I was like, oh my God, buddy, you're breaking my heart.
God damn, dog.
I'll light a candle for you.
What the puppy got to say?
He's still out there though, right?
Yeah, and I think he has a new Jimmy. Dude, there's so many characters through the comedy store. You're juggling. Like, you'll say one thing, and it's like one of those Plinko chips on that. I'm like, ding, ding, damn, what happened to those guys?
Dirty Jimmies.
I heard there was a lot of them, dude. But I heard it got more and more pathetic.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Dude, when it ends up with a puppet, that's like a sad movie.
Puppets
are God willing, hopefully he's got it together now, and he's doing. I would just want nothing but the best for everybody. Life goes by fast, dude. Just be nice to everybody.
It does go fast.
Hell yeah, this fool. Hugs for everybody.
Hugs for everybody.
We've always been like that, though. You're not like, you know, because you know how a lot of dudes, you know, not that they used to be dicks or, you know, they try to get a tough guy for something and all of a sudden they're nice.
Right.
It's cool to be nice and everybody's all peaceful world now.
Some people are nice and then they blow up and they seem mean, but they're still nice, bro. It's just that they have that face like, this fucking asshole that's coming up to me, who I haven't seen in a long time, is going to ask me for something.
So that's got to be
it must be hard.
Hard.
You know, yeah. You get like, I'm pretty sure like they have that survivor's remorse, you know, because they're making it, you know, they survived. They saw a plane crash, but then they walk around with burn victims who didn't, bro, asking for guest spots.
Yeah. I think, I would just try to help everybody. Right? How could you not? Because that's one of the reasons why I was always trying to be the nice guy at the comedy store.
But it fits your philosophy, dude.
Because it's like, dude, this is so hard. Kids don't realize how hard this is, what we're trying to do. Like, it took me 13 years to get on comedy, 13 years of starving to finally get a Comedy Central spot. Do you know what I mean? Like, now what am I, 16 years in, then the album goes to number one. There's no shortcuts. So when I see a kid show up from Chicago or Indiana, and they show up at the comedy store with stars in their eyes, and I'm like, buddy, I'm going to try to make this as easy as possible, and you're still going to want to quit. It's terrible. It's hard. We should be nicer to each other.
No, there's people have been at it 30, you know, people that have been at it 30 years, bro, and still open micing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember there was a guy named Gaylord Dingler that was like one of those, like,
sounds like a porn star.
He was like, they did a documentary on him. He was like one of those, like, he kind of looked homeless, kind of open micers from the comedy store.
The Valley.
Right. My friend lost 30 pounds at the gym. 30 pounds at the gym. A machine ripped his leg off. Like, they were the type of jokes he would tell.
It's like a swap meet comedy.
But he was in the parking lot once, and Dice starts, they knew each other from the 70s. He was doing open mics for over 30 years, Gaylord.
There was another comic that I used to know. He did open mic a long time. He passed away, but he had a funny joke. He goes, yeah, I remember my first love. It was in kindergarten. She was beautiful, man. I don't see her anymore. Yeah, they stopped letting me teach there.
Oh, Freddie my Novak. Gosh.
Freddie Novak was his name. Chubby comedian guy from, also from Philly.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what's weird? The Valley, I was just talking to my buddy, I was in a place called Corky's, like an old school diner on Van Nuys, and I saw they had a sign up there for open mic. I didn't know one of the comedians on it. There are some dudes that make it all the way to L.A., start doing the Valley scene, and never make it over the hill.
Yeah, Dante. Dante.
Dante.
We had him on a show, too. also, it's just like you get pitching hole somewhere. You get too comfortable.
Yes,
like you want to stay. Like people get comfortable being the funniest guy in the Inland Empire.
Right,
like Bruce Jingles, bro.
Like they're happy. You gotta make your world bigger.
You gotta make it bigger, man. Like I know people that never leave Riverside or that area, and then go to Las Vegas and have their own show, and that's it.
Wow,
I can't do that, man. I guess I wanted fame and fortune.
I'd get bored. I just want to meet people and hang out and have laughs. And if you're in the same place all the time, like, I guess that's one of the reasons why I do like the comedy store, because there's always new faces. It's like a destination. People from all over want to go there and hang out. You can meet people from everywhere.
Like a hub.
And I love that. Yeah, it's cool.
So you have a comedy album?
Yeah, it's called What's Up, Nerds.
What's Up, Nerds? Where can they find it at?
iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, all that stuff.
And all your material, like, you've been stocking it up?
No, like I came out with an album 2 years ago, and then this one, it's the stuff I wrote in the last 2 years, but I like it because it's completely clean. Like, I just wanted to have something like, if my mom listened to it, she wouldn't be embarrassed. So I made sure to do it just like that.
Where'd you record it at, dog?
La Jolla Comedy Store. Yeah, right? La Jolla Comedy Store, which is like the comedy store in Hollywood, but with happy people.
Hell yeah.
That's a good room.
They still have the comedy condo in La Jolla still, the same one?
Yep, right on the beach. I love it.
They still have that green coat hanging in the closet?
No. Why, did you leave a coat down there?
No, man. I went there my first time. I stood there with Gabriel Iglesias and a San Diego comedian named Frank Manzano. He was a headliner.
Okay.
And
dude, you've been on some incredible shows when you start rattling off.
And we were bored, bro. And only one of the TVs had cable. So we didn't know how to
the headliner room.
Yeah, so Gabriel ripped the cords from all the televisions and he stuck them all together so all the TVs would have cable. So he put fake cable in all the rooms.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fucking and cable taped guy, it with dog.
Regular fucked up tape. So the next comedian that went there tried to plug it in, he probably burned the carpet.
It worked though, right?
It worked.
That's tight, though.
They finally just renovated that condo.
Ooh,
dude,
man,
it hadn't changed since. And the last time I was down there, there's an old guy I used to see every once in a while. Guy's got to be in his 80s or 90s. He started rattling off.
Saw.
Tremendous stories.
Mitzi's side piece, dog.
Dude, he said he saw Robin Williams out of his mind at 2 o'clock in the morning in the Denny's across from the condo to an hour. Just gathered everybody. He was like, I got to shoot this for HBO in a week. I have to perform it right now. Robin Williams, out of his mind, did an hour of stand-up at the front counter of Denny's. He told me a story about seeing Sam Kinison passed out in the booth at Denny's the next morning, finding Eddie Murphy at the condo when Eddie Murphy was looking for one of the comedians. Limo pulls up. Eddie Murphy pulls up. And then he told me stories he used to manage. There's a little motel right next to the condo. And he said Paulie would park his car there. And he's like, that piece of shit. And I would just get it towed every time he parked it there. Guy was great. I love old dudes. They're the best.
Fuck yeah, dude. History is no mystery, dog.
So you showcased for Mitzi also?
Oh, countless times.
But how many times?
I honestly don't even. I remember once bombing so bad, the room was so quiet, I heard her scratch my name off the list from the back of the room. That's a true story.
The big pin.
Yeah, you just hear it.
She was cutting up a line, dog.
And then I used to drive her. There were times when I was her assistant, and she used to have this, if she didn't like you, she scratched your name off, right? But if she liked you, she'd circle it. I remember a couple times, like, trying to look at the paper, and my name was circled with, like, a star next to it. And I'm like, I'm passed. I'm a made guy.
Well,
so I'd be just driving her home, like, so, Mitzi, do you like anybody tonight? She'd be like.
The last time I saw her was at Freddie Soto's funeral. She rolled up in the car. And
Forest
then,
Lawn?
And then somebody told me, go say hi to Mitzi. I said, she don't know me. And he goes, she knows you. So I went over there, and she said hello to me for a little while. And she did know me.
Yeah.
Because she did pass me.
Yep.
After 9 weeks in a row.
Wow.
Every time to go up, there were three with a different 3 minutes. And then the last one was a different 10. And when I was leaving, she said, call tomorrow for spots.
That's how good did you feel when that happened?
Awesome, bro. Awesome. And then I did call for spots. They didn't feel too cool going up that ladder, though, to change the name.
Oh, that was the worst. Changing the front sign was the worst. Because you'd have drunk people come by and start shaking the ladder on the Sunset Strip.
But luckily, I had a fellow Mexican working there, parking cars too, Chewy.
Oh, big Chewy. Yeah.
So he knew I was Mexican, and he goes, he had my back, like undercover on the back, like whatever I wanted.
He took care of me.
So when it was time to put up the ladder, he goes, hey, Felipe, don't worry about it, Holmes. Don't worry about it, Holmes. Right after I kick these fuckers out, Holmes, I'll help you. And they were standing right there holding the ladder right there and saying hi to everybody, but holding the ladder for me.
Oh, that's great.
And then Gabriel quit the next day because nobody wanted to hold the ladder for him.
Dude, that ladder sucked. Chewy told me about
it. And there's trembles all the time.
Yeah, it's not safe.
And nobody's going to have your back if you fall.
Nobody would care.
Nobody would fucking care. You're on your own there.
Yep.
I was up there going, man, what do these fucking comedians have shorter names?
Oh, God. Or if you
Night of a 1,000 Goombas, bro.
She tried to get me to do that show. I was like, nah, I'm good.
My Goomba over there.
I can't believe that show, bro. Night of a Thousand Goombas. All Italian show, bro.
Oh, my
God. Tommy
Rero pissed off that Andrew S. Clay was in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's on those shows? Will you remember any lineups?
Sebastian, Wheels, Mike Ricca.
Ricca, I miss that dude.
That dude was so fucking hilarious, bro.
Did you say that you went walked in one time, this motherfucker was tearing it up with a little dude, suit on? Like, unbelievable.
He had a suit on one time. It was like probably like 96 probably. I would walk in there, open mic, you know, trying to say hi to people. And I see Mike Ricca. I don't know who he was. He had a nice little hair, short, you know, smooth suit, shoes, killing it, getting heckled by a black lady, putting her place in a nice way. Come on, lady, I'm here to do a fucking job, lady. You know, and then killing it, bro. Killing it, killing it. And I said, God damn, this was a killer. And then when I felt cool one time, man, because I was at Merlin Martinez's house.
Oh,
and then we were all having Thanksgiving
her.
Dinner at her house. It was Joe Diaz, Rick Ramos, and Mike Ricca. And I'm the only one that showed up with joints. So we all smoked, bro, and we just talked. It was cool,
hell
man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Maryland was the sweetest.
Some of those times, man, you don't forget, man. Like, when you had, like, a moment like that, hanging out with those four comics on a holiday on Thanksgiving, because we would rather be here than with our families. Because this is our family right here.
Yeah.
You know? We sat there. We fucking ate. And we had a lot of food and smoked those joints. Made fun of Mary Martinez's couches for an hour and left. You knew her too, right, Mary?
Yeah, I loved her. Like the sweetest person ever. She looked out for everybody.
When I was showcasing for Mitchell and those every week for those times, I had Cheryl Shepherd and Merlin Martinez sit next to Mitzi for nobody could bug her while I'm up there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people start Mitzi blocking. You got Peter Chen over here in one ear.
Smashing aluminum
and
cans.
And Gouden on the other ear.
Oh, my God.
Those are the people that were blocking.
Dude, those lineups were so bad back in the day. So bad. I remember working the phone sometimes and be like, you know what? Try to come back another night. This isn't going to be any good tonight.
We have headlining here. Gouden.
Oof. That was rough.
Peter Chen.
Oh my
dude, I remember
God.
Once Peter Chen trying to karate kick Don Barris. And Don Barris just grabbed his foot. They were crazy.
I lose face.
Dude, there were nights where nobody was working the door. Everybody was upstairs playing foosball. And people just walked through the club. And they couldn't get a drink. They couldn't get a seat. Nothing. It was just chaos. They already had a casino in the main room for a couple weeks. Everybody that was on the clocks playing roulette and blackjack.
I remember, there was no respect. I remember following a comic. And then, like, he moves the bar stuff out of the bar. And start making two lines right there. Just does them like he didn't give a fuck. He just did them. And then after a while, I would always go there and smoke weed in the back because nobody cared.
Right.
People still smoke weed in the back?
Yep. They almost made it an official thing. It's like blocked off in that back hall, the outside hall. So they put seats down there, lights, heaters for outside, and only
comics.
Only comics can get back.
Yeah, there. I always liked that it was comics, but when I started seeing comics, you know, bringing somebody they brought from the audience to go backstage and smoke a joint with them, I felt like, hey, bro, they shouldn't be back here.
Yeah,
this is not for them.
Right,
this is something that us just for us only.
Yep, they have a bar back there now too.
And then they made a law. After a while, they had a sign that said, "If you're gonna smoke weed back here, don't talk about it on stage." Remember that sign?
No, I don't remember that.
It was right there by the little booth.
Oh, God, that booth. How many nights did I
How many? Man, I was at the Comedy Store one time, fucked up, okay? And I was going around trying to open every fucking door. And I made it all the way upstairs to another room. There's a lot of fucking rooms up there nobody knows about now.
Yeah, dude, this is a true ghost story.
Green room, right? The belly room.
Yep.
Remember the green room and the belly room?
Yes.
That leads to another room.
Yes.
Like you could crawl your way to the main room and the ORs through the green room.
And there used to be those little windows that they said the gangsters would watch people walk into the club.
Those windows, I remember the windows, bro.
Yeah, they covered those windows up.
Fuck.
Dude, there was one night, we're hanging out. Because when I managed the club, I was only in the building once by myself. And I had a ghost experience, and I remember calling Dice because he had just left, and he's like, get out. There's things I never told you. There's things I never told you. It was like out of a movie. I'm like, what? Just leave. Fuck the money. It doesn't matter. Go. Run. And then he told me a crazy ghost story. So then.
What was the story?
About a mattress.
It was a story about him and Kinnison messing around with a Ouija board. And then they hear a growl above the main room. You know how there's the sound. There was a closet up there. And it had a padlock and a chain. And he said, you heard something banging from the inside of the closet and the chain was swinging off the hinges. So that's the story he told me. Then about, I don't know, 6 months after that, we're all hanging out. We close the club down. It's like me, a couple door guys, waitresses, and the manager. And the alarm goes off. And this is when Paulie's brother was living behind the club. So he's like, oh, I got to go turn this off before Peter wakes up. So he goes back into the club, turns it off. And nobody checks it out because people are like, oh, it's probably a comic, it's a homeless comedian that just set off the alarm. We're in the parking lot. Boom. West Hollywood sheriffs roll up, shine the lights on us. The guy, the manager at the time, was a former military clean cut guy. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, officer. I'm the manager here. And he's like, we have to go check it out. Boom. Another sheriff. So now there's four sheriffs going through the building.
And Lee Baca, though.
Yeah, dude. Now we're in the back like, what's going on? Because another car shows up and we go with them. They go, they got somebody. And now it's the ass kicker. It's the dude that's 6'4" with that mean cop face. So he's like, show me the way. So now there's six cops running through the building. We're hanging out down at the bottom of the steps where everybody would smoke weed. Like, what's going on? And you hear like all the Rovers going off. Like, we got a 10-10 and the keys going, freeze, whatever. So now they're coming down the steps 20 minutes later. And the shift sergeant's like, you know, this building's crazy. So many hallways. The fire department should do training here because if this place ever goes up, everybody. And then, but the military manager guy's like, well, what was the situation, officer? Was there somebody in the building? And the sergeant's like, you know what? Yeah, damnedest thing. We caught the guy. Like, we cornered the guy. But as soon as we shine the flashlight on him, it's like he disappeared.
Damn.
And Dave Scott, the manager, goes, well, you know, this is the Comedy Store. It's the most haunted building in Hollywood. And that's like right out of Scooby-Doo. The ass kicker cop goes like this. I told you, and pushed everybody out of the way and ran. Yeah.
Dog.
Crazy. Now I'm thinking about this other way that when I was at the Comedy Store, from the green room and abandoned room, I don't know if the door's still there, but there was a way to come down into the bar, huh? That's gone. I know that's gone now, but they used to be in a green room. You walk down this pathway and you make it down to the bar where the little booth used to be. I remember doing that.
And like a whole other set of stairs?
Yes.
Ooh, that's crazy.
You know where the when you go back into the Comedy Store, you pass the OR.
Yep.
And you go into the right, and then right there's the bar.
Yep.
Then there's the booth, the private booth that used to belong to Mickey Cohen, a little private booth.
Yep.
Well, from the belly room, there's a belly room, green room that's kind of huge.
Yep.
There used to be a side door there that would take you downstairs to the bar.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I like to search things and I found that out.
That's awesome.
They're probably closed now.
Did you ever see the tunnels that they used to run the booze through?
No.
Are those in the basement?
Yeah, well, there's ones in the back hallway where you can see the door. But then one of the door guys just showed me in the back of the main room. And you can see it if you look at it. Underneath the carton, underneath the carpet, there's a huge trap door. And he said that's where they used to smuggle the booze into.
They used to wheel it in, huh?
Yep.
Crazy.
Damn, those are back in L.A. Confidential days,
though. Yep, for sure.
It was called fucking Ciro's, right?
Yep. When Martin Scorsese did that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio on Howard Hughes, I was working the phones when his set director that did all of his movies was like, hey, we need to recreate Ciro's because Howard Hughes was in there 7 nights a week. Can we come check out the club? And the lady and the guy came down and took pictures of it. She said everybody was in at Ciro's. It was the spot. They actually have some pictures now on display of like Sammy Davis Jr. on his first show back after losing his eye in the car accident. He's on stage of the comedy Ciro's with a patch on his eye. That was his first show back. Sinatra and Dean Martin made him perform because they were like, if you don't get back on stage now, you're never going to do it. You got to face that fear. You got to get out there. So cool.
And Missy owns a whole lot, everything?
I think so.
But everybody's trying to buy it, huh?
Wow. I remember back in 2003, Robin Williams did a benefit for the Comedy Store because things were so bad then they couldn't afford to put a roof on the place. And every time it rained, it would go all the way down. It would leak into the OR. That's like four flights it would leak through. And Robin was one of the coolest dudes because he came back, did the free show, and also bought out half the tickets because they knew it was, he knew everybody in Hollywood because he hadn't done stand-up in forever. So everybody came to see him. Sean Penn, Billy Crystal, everybody came to see Robin. But he bought half the tickets out of his own money, did the show for free. And the first sentence out of his mouth was, this is the first time I've ever been asked to do a benefit for a $20 million piece of real estate. And that was 15 years ago.
God,
Lord knows what it's worth.
Did you get to meet Richard Pryor?
No.
He was already gone when you got there?
Yeah, already gone. I got to meet his wife one night. She came by with Mitzi. And she invited me up to the house to meet him, but I was too scared.
How about Rodney Dangerfield?
Missed him. This is what I miss everything.
You got to meet Dice.
Rodney, I remember this story. Paulie was like, bro, do you want to? It was like Sam Kinison's niece's birthday party they were going to have at the Saddle Ranch, which is right down the street from the Comedy Store. But I was working two, three jobs in those days. Like I couldn't, there was no hanging out time. And I remember going, no, I got to get to another job. And he's like, you should have hung out, man. Like David Talbot. Because he said Rodney showed up in his bathrobe for Kinison's niece's birthday. I was like, man, I loved Rodney. Oh, it's one of the reasons why I did comedy. I loved him so much.
Funniest ever, dog.
Ever.
He had that blue suit with a red tie. Just like Trump. No respect.
Get out of here.
So what's up, fool?
Chilling, dog. Fucking right here. Got something in my fucking eye. What's up, dog?
I was watching you poke your eye out, dog.
Yeah.
Fucking with your eye. I used to see Steven Simone at the Sapphire, bro, on fucking Alhambra.
In Alhambra.
Oh, my God!
To walk in with John Reap.
I remember that.
That was your homie, right, John Reap?
Yeah, I love the guy. I love everybody. But yeah, Reap, I love that dude.
I used to see two guys at Rick Ramos' room, the Sapphire.
Yes!
The blue Sapphire.
What was that, 2004 maybe?
Yeah,
2005?
Man. That was in Alhambra, bro. A little hell gig.
Oh, my. I remember once the mic didn't even work.
Yeah, that right room.
Yeah, and I remember the lady was like, well, I could just tell. I wish I saw you perform. I could just tell you're funny just by looking at you. I'm like, is that a compliment?
Tuesday nights.
Yeah, dog. Rick Ramos
had that going for a while.
Yeah, man. Rick Ramos had the Sapphire and across the street with Rick Burgers.
Yeah, dog.
What's up, fool, man? Your podcast on every week?
Yeah, every week. I would love you guys to come on. It's called Good Times. Just
good
celebrate
times.
Life for a little bit, man.
Celebrate life, right? Rodrigo.
We're celebrating it, dog.
You got to.
So do you still have to call in spots, or did they just put you on the show?
No, I call in. I call in, and I don't complain. I'm just happy to be on the
team.
So
people complain, huh?
Dude, I don't know how they can. There are lineups on there where I go, this is like a telethon lineup, where it's like, Rogan, Joey Diaz, Ron White, D'Elia.
Mark Maron.
All on the same night. Spade. And then it's like, oh, Pop In by Louis
C.K. And how
CK.
Much a ticket price for this?
$20.
$20. And they still want more, these people. They want to fucking hang out and shit. They want to take a photo. And they get pissed off that they'll get a fucking photo.
They just can't
some
get enough.
L.A. people, like, the, you know those spoiled kids that never had a like, they'll go out on stage, it's been murder for 90 minutes, and they're still pissed Chris Rock didn't pop in, or they're pissed Chappelle didn't pop in. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to make you laugh. You don't have any appreciation.
I thought Jeffrey Roth was going to be here.
And roast me.
It's the truth. Some people, I mean, if you're a comedy fan, if you're a real fan, there's nothing like, I would do a vacation just to come visit it. And people are doing that now because they hear about it on podcasts.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's the
dude.
Best. And they also know from podcasts that I'm like the nice guy. So they're like, there's Steve Simone. He'll give us a ghost tour. And I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. And I walk him through the club, give him stickers. Why not?
Yeah, dude. That's fucking cool.
It is cool.
I haven't been there in a while, man.
You should come back.
The last time I did a show there was when I was booked at the main room.
All Things Comedy Show?
All Things Comedy Show. Are you the line going up because I'm... Shit, man. I can't be going over there doing 15 minutes, bro. You know, I like to stay out because I'm not a millionaire. Like those guys that are on that list, everybody you mentioned is a millionaire. You know, Mark Maron, Joe Rogan, Chris D'Elia, Whitney Cummings, millionaires.
Yeah.
They have time to spare. Hell no, man. I'm still trying to sell out the Microsoft Theater, bro.
That's incredible.
I can't be showing up here for 15 minutes and giving the audience just 15 minutes of material when I could not hold out and then have people want to see me at the Microsoft.
That's incredible.
I sold out.
Dude, I'm so proud of you.
I'm happy, bro. I sold out the fucking the Taj Mahal. Now, where did we perform at?
Novo.
The Novo, the Club Nokia. Two shows, man.
That's amazing.
Man, I was happy, man, because, you know, a lot of people, they can't sell out in their hometown.
No.
It's like when you come back, bro, they hate you.
They say it, right? It's biblical. No man is a prophet in his own hometown.
Yeah, right, Rogio. They hate you in Riverside House.
Yeah, every morning, you know what I'm saying? There's gunshots on the windows.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. I see the list and go, God damn, people are getting a good show here for $20. But you're right, they still want more.
Some people, yeah.
And they hear like people going back and talk shit. Yeah, they didn't let me take a picture. Yeah. Bro, you have a memory now.
Yeah, some people, they just look for stuff to complain about. Then you get those audiences that are beautiful, where people are just happy to be there. They walk in like, they're my I love when you have those audiences where the laugh is half out, where people are like that, you know, with their mouth open, loving it.
I could just picture me like, if I wasn't a comedian, but I would still be a fan, I'll probably be standing by the door, bro, greeting people. All right, man, Joe, when you going up?
Yeah. I would. I think I did that when I first came out here, like, to the improv. I remember I knew the door guy from Philly, this kid Marcus Molina, and he was working the door there. I'm like, what's going on? And I was just talking to him, and then I would just keep on opening the door, and I'm like, that's Dom Irrera. That's, you know. Seeing your heroes walking by. That's Damon Wayans. I couldn't believe it.
So you saw Whitney Cummings when she first showed up to L.A.? Did she start doing stand-up in L.A. or somewhere else?
I don't know. I think probably – I remember doing the belly room with – Tommy would – every Tuesday we'd put me, Whitney, and Chris D'Elia up there because we weren't getting OR spots. We weren't – I don't think we were paid regulars then. That was like 2005. She blew up quick.
Yeah, man.
Quick.
Fat Tuesday still going on?
No.
No more Tuesday?
Black? I don't think so. I don't think so. But back in the day, that was the only show that sold tickets.
That's right. Packed on a Tuesday.
Packed. And I remember Big Shorty, Beyonce's bodyguard, would do security on Tuesdays. He would just walk down the street texting, and people would literally get in line. He was what, 6'10"? 400-500 pounds.
Huge.
I saw him pick up a car in the parking lot like Andre the Giant. Just man, for laughs.
All the rooms are sold out sometimes. I look at the lineup and the belly room is sold out too.
On the weekends.
It's unheard of before.
Twice. The main room sold it twice a night. OR twice a night. Belly room two or three times a night. Everything's sold out. Everybody's happy. It's a buzz. It really looks like I would see those videos of back in the day, like of like a Kinison special or something, and it was like fun. It's fun. And I try to remember everything because I know these are the times we're going to be talking about 20 years from now.
We are, man.
Yeah, man. It's cracking, dog. It's
crazy. Leslie Jones is a Ghostbuster.
Leslie Jones, wow. And she used to always go there, too.
Always.
Struggling comic.
Yep. And killing it. She's been funny since I've known her. There are certain people that it just warms my heart when I see their success. You're one of them. Leslie's one of them. I remember seeing Sebastian for years.
Yeah, man.
Killing it for 15 years. Killing it. And just now, America's starting to go, oh, this dude's hilarious.
But he's been hilarious.
Yeah, forever. That's my point.
20, man. That fucking act he always used to do there.
A lot of people fell off too, huh?
You can't ever quit.
Don't quit, man. Like, I know people that fell off. Like, I haven't seen them. Like, when the last time you saw Mike Ricca?
He moved to upstate New York.
He's still doing stand-up?
I don't think so. I'll tell you what. If I ever got a TV show deal, he's one of the first writers I would hire, for sure. Because that dude was funny. I remember when the cast of Jackass would come in, because I didn't have TV. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know who they were. And this kid's got a Pennsylvania driver's license. It was bam. And we were talking about Westchester, where he's from. I didn't know who he was because I could tell he had the accent. Like, yeah, what's up, man? And I'm like, hey, how you doing? They would come in every Sunday to watch Ricca host open mic, and he would just shred people in the audience.
Damn.
Well, what happened to Reggie McFadden, dog?
Oh my another gosh, one, that's another one.
That guy was hilarious.
Bro. Fuck yeah, dog.
He had his own TV show, didn't he?
I don't know if he did, but it was short-lived.
Crazy
selling
business.
Plots.
Yeah, on the moon, fool. Last time I seen him was, no, I'm not fucking with you. Over there in Alhambra, I did a show with him. And I told him, hey, dog, how funny he was. I haven't seen you in days. And fucking, yeah, he was selling plots of fucking land on the moon, dog. Ahead of his time, dog.
Yeah, he was selling gold mines, too.
Yeah, shit like that in, yeah. like, Africa or something, dude. Like, yeah, crazy shit like the crazy, you know, international real estate.
Wow.
Interstellar or whatever the fuck.
So what are you selling, bro? What are you selling?
Steve Simone. I got nothing.
I got nothing. That should kill me.
That's what you think. Somebody owns the moon. For real, I saw a commercial where you could buy a piece of the moon somewhere. I saw a commercial where somebody said you could buy a piece of the moon and they send you a certificate.
That's what I'm saying. It was some crazy shit like that.
I can't
believe
Reggie went that bad.
But I don't
know.
If memory serves me,
I'm
going
to start selling spots on Jupiter if anybody wants it. I got a certificate.
It's right here.
Steve Simone is a nice guy who signed over.
$1,000 an acre.
Wow.
And he had a management company or some shit like that, too, or something, or a development company or something shit like that.
I'll never forget Mitt Romney telling the other guy, man, if one of my business people came up to me and said, we're gonna start building houses on the moon, I'll fire him.
Hilarious.
That was during, like, when he was running against Obama, huh?
Yeah, when he was running against Obama. It was during a debate, bro. One of the other Republicans said he wants to build homes in the moon. Was it McCain?
Who won? Nah, it was like, was it that?
Was it McCain?
Nah, it was somebody that lost. Was it the one that Huckabee? It was one of those fucking Huckabee, crazy ass fools. I forgot who they were, though. But
Mitt Romney put him in his place right there, man. You gonna send people to the moon.
dude, I forgot about that, dog. Yeah.
But that dude was hilarious.
Oh, fuck, yeah. That fool was funny as fuck, dog.
Man, so many people went through the comedy store. So many people fell off.
Yeah, man.
I didn't think Joe Diehl was ever going to come back, but he came back.
Fuck yeah. Motherfucker
the greatest.
Came back.
That's right, cocksucker. Fucking swinging out.
Funniest dude ever. I love him.
Fuck What's up, dog? Food Podcast? You have any dates you want to tell people you're going to be at?
Nothing. I got to, by the time, once this come out?
Friday.
I'm doing a charity show in Philly Sunday night at Helium for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, hell yeah, dog.
For the Claude Giroux
The Philadelphia Flyers need money, bro.
Yeah.
It's for the kids. And then we're doing another charity show for my charity called Regular Hero at the Comedy Store. That's going to be March 29th. All that money is going to go straight to the families that really need it.
What family, though?
What we do is we do, like, blood drives down at Children's Hospital. And then there are some families down there that are really going through it. So we do whatever we can. Whatever we can raise.
March what?
29th.
Who's going to be on the show?
Hopefully we'll get Bill Burr again. Hopefully. But we just booked the date yesterday because there's one family in particular we're really trying to help.
When you guys do the blood drive? In March as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You can just donate blood whenever. Children's Hospital always needs blood. Always needs blood.
Rodrigo donated a lot of blood before, man, but nobody picked it up on the floor.
Need blood.
What's up, fool? This week, I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Saturday night, I'll be in Dallas. Don't forget, people, get those tickets. And also, everybody, thank you very much for putting up with us every week. And, man, what's up? Don't forget, man, HBO special coming out in September. And the pilot didn't get picked up. So don't ask me when the show's going to be on. The pilot didn't get picked up. But it's okay, man. We're going to move on. We haven't cashed the checks, but they're still coming.
Keep shining, though.
What's up, fool? Thank you very much, Stevie Simeon.
Thank you.
Simone.
Steve Simone. Philly's finest.